Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It's about 1:35, and we're gathered for a informal, do we call these work sessions? Informal. On with MDU on a couple of issues. I saw on the agenda the part about the Heskett station, the coal units, et cetera, update. So that'll be in open session, correct, Jack?
That's right.
So we'll go through that first, and then we'll go into the closed session on cybersecurity. Okay, very good. So I don't have any opening comments for this first part, but I'll see if my colleagues do.
No, thank you. I do not either.
Okay, Sherry?
The only comment I have to say was it's a pleasure meeting many of you for the first time, so thank you for being here.
Right. So, so far on the record, we've got all three commissioners. We can go around the table and introduce everybody else, and then later we'll probably introduce everybody in the room. But go ahead, Victor. You can start us off.
Victor Shook with staff.
John Shook with staff.
Peggy Link, MDU Resources.
Garrett Singer with Montana Dakota.
Jay Scable with Montana Dakota.
Curtis Riley with Montana Dakota.
All right, very good. Thank you, everybody. So, Garrett, do you want to take things away?
You bet. We'll kick things off here this afternoon. Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity to present to you. And as you mentioned, first we'll talk about the Heskett update. And we do have a couple individuals online who will be presenting the Heskett update. Joe Geiger, can you hear us okay?
Yes, Garrett, I can hear you.
Great. So Joe Geiger is the director of power generation, and then he will present to you then the update on Heskett, the demolition of Heskett and the decommissioning. And in front of you then you should have a copy of the handout as well. So Joe, with that, would you please then begin your presentation? And
sure.
Joe, Jay will then advance the slide. So ready for the next slide, just say next slide, please, or maybe Jay can anticipate that. Thank you.
Perfect. That was my only question. All right. Well, I appreciate the commission allowing me to present virtually on this this topic here. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada, actually. So I'm hoping to actually run through this, and then I'll jump off before the cybersecurity update after any questions or anything like that. But again, Joe Geiger is my name, and I am the director of generation. With me virtually is Pete Thiessen, and in the room, Jacob Hine, one of our engineers on staff, is also available, and he's actually running this project here from the power generation perspective anyway. So anything that I might need a little assistance on, they're here to help out. So just a little bit of background. The RM Heskett station has been a reliable energy and capacity resource, starting with Unit 1 being built in 1954, and then ultimately both units now, maybe mentioning Unit 2 as well, coming on a few years after, but ultimately both concluding their generation runs in 2022. Unit 2 retired in January, and that was created by we were basically forced offline with a tube leak. So something that is not overly routine and ultimately put us in a situation where we had to weigh economics and decide if we were going to bring the unit back on through the anticipated timeline of through the end of March. So with that, we made the decision to take the unit off, leave it off, and ultimately was forced into removing Unit 1 from service as well due to some environmental compliance concerns, specifically with the MATS rule. Just to mention additional generation on the MDU Heskett property, as I'm sure all of you are aware, we do have our Unit 3. It's a simple cycle combustion turbine commissioned in 2014. 88 megawatt unit there, and we're building a sister unit similar in size, nearly identical, and hoping to have that unit online in April of 2023. Jay, go ahead.
Yep.
Thank you. So the D&D progress to date, I know I've presented in the past to the commission here, and kind of outline this project specifically, and maybe referring more to the Lewis and Clark station, but now into the Heskett project as a three-phase project. So the first phase of that project is the final outage. So we did complete that phase of the project in June of 2022. And we were successful in completing that with all of our MDU staff. We had very minimal contractor support for that. So very proud of that effort by our own individual staff on that. You know, the one of the bigger phases of that is the coal removal. And we were successful in actually offloading the stockpile coal or any coal that we had in rail cars due to the unforeseen outage, selling those to LOS station, actually. So we actually made some very good gains as far as offloading that additional coal that we ultimately would have had to put in our landfill because we really couldn't find any other options there. So again, just wanting to point out the success there in the final outage, and that has been completed. So moving on, second phase is the continuity of operations. So that is underway. The biggest, one of the bigger pieces, I'll say, is the water pipeline. That project is scheduled to basically conclude here in August. And I believe, and if we can get a head nod from Jake, I have been on vacation for a few weeks now, but I think we are up and running with that water pipeline. And that is a source from the city of Mandan in lieu of the Missouri River intake structure system that we previously utilized for fire suppression or power augmentation.
Jake is nodding, so yes.
All right, good. next piece that I'll mention is the security communication networking upgrade. So that's ongoing and will continue through the build out of Heskett 4, and then the transmission upgrades. A lot of work being done there between you know, different substation ties. Part of that being the river crossing, or at least that's part of the visibility piece that I'll get into in a little bit here. But a number of transmission upgrades ongoing for the continuity of operations piece. And then the final phase of this this D&D project is the demolition. So that's the actual structures being pulled down. So progress to date there is very minimal. Again, just the final outage completed currently. But as far as the demolition is concerned, we did select Bierlein as our D&D contractor. And the next slide, we can jump into that, is our schedule. And if you're able to read any of this, you know, I did just pull in the entire schedule just so to give you a feel of what we're up against here. And, you know, I think some of the things that we've rather than go through line by line, the asbestos abatement, I know Bierlein has their schedule set at 4 weeks right now. That is something that we, at least going through the Lewis and Clark project, similar project, that is one of the things that there's a lot of unknowns in that piece. And so that 4 weeks has a lot of variability in it, I would say. And then really moving down into some of the outbuildings, the universal decommissioning, the coal yard demo, most of that coal pile has been removed to date already, but there is some cleanup work needed there. And then the intake structure, I think the plan now is to really, I believe, just kind of push in the structure itself or the channel walls and then demo the building as a whole. So that's kind of the progression there. And then in between, if we can jump down to the power block, that's the bulk of the heavy lifting. That's where you'll see the stack coming down. Stack is separate, sorry, but the power block being the turbine generator, some of the larger fans, the boiler, things of that nature. So ultimately moving then into the stacks and then some pond work and really site restoration from that point on, leaving it as a brownfield site with the full, you know, freshly graded and seeded afterwards. So regarding any visibility, you know, it's the first major phase, and I know I mentioned some of this already, is that demo of the external buildings, the conveyors, things of that nature, and then ultimately moving into those large structures. Those will be, again, accomplished through what I guess is referred to as pulls, or through demolition experts, meaning explosives. And so really they do strategic cuts for the pulls on some of the larger beam work or structural steel, if you will, and then basically pull it over with heavy machinery. And it's a lot of work to get into maybe a few 30 second, maybe a minute of actual tipping. So, you know, that's again, probably the bigger pieces that you would anticipate seeing. Next, I'll move into the Missouri River. I already talked about the transmission river crossing briefly there, but ultimately the intake demo. So we're still planning on, we're still in the planning phases of that, but that was the last kind of suggestion, as I mentioned previously, about kind of pushing in those structures on the river.
So what, can you kind of point to a photo, or maybe that last photo, of what intake structure you're talking about?
If you could maybe go back to that first slide, the introductory slide. And in between the stacks, I'll let you go, Jay. I know you're more familiar.
Oh. Yeah, so the intake structure is, that's the thing works, is that little building like right behind the dot there.
And you don't need that for the gas plants? There's no intake?
No, that's where he was talking about the water line that I think you guys permitted.
Yep.
That's going to be sufficient for the new... Or the gas units, the new one and the existing one.
Okay.
So,
will there be any water that goes out, discharged into the river after this?
I'll look to Jake, but I don't think there's any. Is there a little bit of water discharge?
I'll probably turn off from Victor. Yeah.
So we're keeping the low volume waste pond, we call it. It's the pond up. Right here, Jay, if you want to point to that one. That is fed from the Unit 3 site for drains. That we're going to keep that as a discharge point to the river. They have permitted that to keep it as a discharge pond.
Okay. So there'll still be good fishing there?
It won't be warm water or any.
Oh, it won't.
It's very minimal amount of discharge.
I mean, there's fisher. I live just north of there. There's fishermen there all the time. So that's going to change things.
Well, and that's
leave that out, Mark. Don't be telling the public about that piece.
That's stormwater.
No, there are separate stormwater ponds. It is like a wash. When you do a turbine wash, that water would go to the pond. Mm. The pond is big enough where we anticipate most of that will be evaporative, but in case of a large storm event where the pond did fill naturally, just we wanted to keep the drain system open.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff. All right, and is this the final picture there? Is that what's it's going to look like when it's all done? Is that a rendering?
No. No, this picture actually is going to run into, this is Lewis and Clark Station.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the intention with this is really just to share, and maybe I can back up and we can, I think that'll be two slides away, but I'll buzz through these next two slides fairly quickly. So regarding the environmental, and we talked about this already a little bit with the pond work and what's going to remain. As Jake mentioned already, is the low volume waste pond or the and so ultimately we have a sewage lagoon that'll be decommissioned or removed, and then you know, some runoff that gets collected from the ash lots that'll be removed as well. So the other piece to mention is the ash lot capping and the monitoring. I think we have to do 30 years of well monitoring on all of that structure after the final capping is completed. And, you know, basically the current ash slot that we're utilizing right now has been designed and engineered to basically with the intention of decommissioning in mind and no further, I guess, operation or coal ash burial needed there. And then finally, the coal storage removal, I've talked about that, I guess, a few times already, so I'll kind of skip over that one. Asbestos removal is another big environmental hurdle that, again, touched on that already. So we can probably move on to the next slide. Now, regarding any, you know, future property development, we continue to try to work with various groups for development opportunities, and really we've had quite a bit of interest from, well, I'll say the rail sharing. There's been quite a bit of interest based on the property location, the access to the river, the all of the large transmission substation facilities that are right in the area. So it's a very appealing area for development opportunities. And we really haven't worked through anything that's been successful to date. But we haven't, I don't believe any, to the best of my knowledge, turned anyone away. So we have worked with a number of engineering groups or developmental folks that are interested in the property, just haven't had anything really pencil out or come to fruition on that. Now, with the exception of that, we are working with Marathon on this potential rail sharing lease agreement, and we've made strides on that, but that's a smaller piece of the pie, if you will. It really would just be for them to utilize in storing rail cars on our property. And regarding communication, I really probably will open this up to the commission for comment. You know, we plan on doing any periodic updates. I know at one point, Commissioner Fedorchuk, you had requested monthly updates. The nature of projects of like this kind of there's a almost like a big lull period where there's not a lot of activity. For instance, there's a number of weeks where you really don't see any structures being pulled down. It looks like almost nothing's happening. It's kind of happening behind the scenes, if you will. And so I guess I just kind of wanted to gauge interest on if you were interested in those monthly updates, or if you maybe prefer periodic updates, you know, more concurrent or working with the larger structure demolition, or.
Yeah, monthly updates would not be necessary.
Okay.
This is good to get the schedule, and then I think you guys can use your judgment in terms of if there's something big happening, let us know. But I think even more like community-wise, just to be letting the public know when there's going to be something noteworthy, like the buildings coming down, the exhaust towers or whatever, they're coming down. I think that would be noteworthy. And otherwise, I don't, yeah.
And Commissioner, with that, then, you know, there is a schedule and planned communication that's already begun with the transmission line and crossing of the river. And Rob, I don't know if you want to maybe.
Are you taking that down, that transmission line?
Not taking it down, but maybe Rob, you want to explain it and pass off the schedule that you have there.
Sure. So we've got plans to replace the river crossing structures this next couple of months. So it has to do with upgrades necessary for the Emmons Logan Wind Farm.
I see.
There was a conductor that had to be replaced, and so with going with larger conductor, the existing structures are structurally inadequate, I'll put it that way. And so we've been working over the last about year or year and a half or so to go through the engineering studies to determine the necessary structures to replace, the process by which to do that, go through the permitting. And so now into the middle of August, we're going to be taking that conductor down. It's scheduled actually for the week of August 21st or 22nd. And we'll be removing conductor, and then after that, those structures will come down. And so we've already put together a communication plan with all of the various people within the Misty Waters Marina, which they're going to be impacted quite a bit, and then also working with the counties and different law enforcement agencies and the Game and Fish and all of those, I'll say, stakeholders within that river access and within that part of the river during the construction phase that's going to occur here in August. And that project will continue through October, where we'll be again stringing conductor at that time after new structures are set, and then finishing that project towards the end of October. And so maybe with along with this, we could maybe carry that through and continue to operate some of these websites that we have up and some of these communication groups that we've already started discussion related to the transmission project that can continue to through with the demolition work at Heskett.
And you said this is starting next week?
It is. So our contractor is coming to site right now. Sorry, so I make sure the microphone is close, but not too close. I have a project schedule that I can also hand out if anybody's interested. Our contractor is mobilizing right now, so they're bringing their equipment to site and setting up and getting ready to start demolition of the existing structures and of the existing line. And then that would occur, the wire removal where we take the conductor down across the river itself is scheduled for August 22nd to the 25th. So it's I believe it's a Tuesday through a Friday or a Monday through a, I don't have a calendar, but during the week. We're intending to be it during the week so that we limit the amount of impact to the community and to the boaters and the river traffic. And hopefully we don't go into the weekends and disrupt too many people. So,
yeah, it is a Monday through Thursday.
Thank you. Again, Fridays are busy on the river as well.
You don't want any sandbar protests.
we have a website and we've notified the Misty Waters Homeowners Association and all of the homeowners up there, the Misty Waters Marina. We've gotten some feedback on an email address already that has asked us kind of suggested we do it at a different time. However, this takes quite a bit of process, and there's quite a bit of a process. There's quite a bit of planning that had to go into this, quite a bit of permitting. And so this is as good a time as we could find, and we're trying to be aware of the significance and the impact, but are really trying to be as quick about it as we can and be as least impactful as possible related to those homeowners and those people around there.
Pretty sure they're Capital One customers, aren't they?
The Capital Electric. Yeah. I believe they are, yes. So.
Capital One is all about Capital Electric.
I'm sure we learned this during the siting hearing, but refresh me. How far apart are the crossing of where the new transmission line is to be and where the old existing one is?
So the center line of the transmission line will be on the same center line as it is today. So we'll take the conductor down and remove the structures that are on the river and replace them in the same same location as the existing structures are today.
I thought they were a little...
And then the structures are shifted. They're shifted back a little ways, I think, from the riverbank. If I remember the drawings properly, so they're set back a little bit further from the river, but they're still within line from where the existing river crossing is. And they're not going to be a lattice type. They're going to be a more of like a cylindrical steel structure. They're called Pyramax. So they actually make almost like a pyramid shape with the structure itself. So it's got three legs and comes up to a common center pole or structure part at the top where the conductors are attached. So they'll look quite a bit different than they do today.
Well, Mark's going to need a raise to handle all those angry voters.
Or Stacy's.
Joe, did you have anything else then in regards to any of the communication or any of the bullets on the last slide?
No, just to mention briefly, we did communicate with the neighbors along 38th Street. We went door to door and just kind of discussed the Heskett 4 project along with the decommissioning project, and had very favorable results there, but just wanted to make sure that they were aware of all the increased traffic and things of that nature. So they are on board, and at least verbally. And ultimately, I think there was a good segue into this outreach during large demolition events. We did have some lessons learned from Lewis and Clark, and that kind of pulls in the video that hopefully we can get to run for you. But ultimately, the video really represents or shows the stacks coming down, or the one stack, and how it's a very short process, and not much to it from an actual implosion piece. But we did have a number of, because we did go out in the community and make sure that we were notifying the appropriate people, and traveled fairly quickly at Lewis and Clark or in Sydney. And we did have quite the community growth where we had to bring in law enforcement to redirect traffic as people were parking along the highways and getting out of their vehicles, maybe in some not appropriate locations. So anyways, we it's kind of a balancing act. I just want to make that point, and we will definitely be doing our best and our due diligence regarding the efforts there.
The video is playing. Is there any asbestos in those stacks? Is there asbestos in those stacks?
No. There was in the paint on the outside, and we did use a device that kind of like a suction cup that, sure, that you drug along the outside and just basically scraped and using water pulled that paint off of the stack.
Okay.
But other than that, no.
So will you be taking both the stacks down on this site in Heskett?
At Lewis and Clark?
No, at Heskett.
Yes, both stacks.
Okay.
And just for reference, this is just one video. We did take, the other stack is down at Lewis and Clark, okay, as well.
Jack, did you see it? Were you in here? But it's only 30, like it's super short. We can show it. Who doesn't like to watch an explosion?
It's on right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, here's another one. What is that falling? It looks like equipment.
That was a success. It landed, I think I heard, within 4 feet of where it was planned, so it was successful effort there.
Have you been mostly meeting with Victor all morning?
That's why this was a
couple of other just interesting points there. The other stack is steel, and that one was not imploded. It was notched and pulled down with I think they used a front end loader and cables to pull it over. And on the concrete one that we just watched, the base, you could see it break about a third of the way up, and that the bottom third stayed pretty much intact, but the rest of the upper two-thirds, when it hit, it was basically just powder.
Wow.
That was, seeing some of the pictures after, they just went and swept it up. I mean, there was hardly anything there. So a couple interesting points.
Yeah, that is interesting. All right, is there any other questions on the reclamation of this hole?
Well, there's steel in that concrete, isn't there?
I don't know, Joe, do you know the exact design? But no, I don't think there was any. I think that was just a concrete stack.
It was. So one of the significant efforts of removing that once it hit the ground was pulling the rebar out of it. Mm-hmm. So, it basically created two big piles, one for the actual concrete, which was somewhat recycled, and then the steel in the rebar. Or
Jay wasn't here.
When rebar material.
Where? So this is the Lewis and Clark site. Where is the rice units? Is that in that white building on the back left there?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Randy was asking what was in it, and I said you weren't here when it was constructed.
No. I was born when it was constructed.
All right. Anything else?
That's all I had too for today, and I'll ensure we get more. As we see some of these larger project pieces come together, I'll make sure to get a few more presentations put together for the group here.
Sounds good. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you and your team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay cool.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. All right, I'm going to sign off. Thanks again.
All right, thanks, Joe. Okay, is there any other business for the open portion of the meeting? All right. If not, then... The next part of this meeting concerns an annual cybersecurity report on cybersecurity preparedness. This commission may limit access to records and portions of the meeting related to cybersecurity preparedness. The legal authority for closing this meeting is North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 4905, 17.5. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss information in closed session rather than an open meeting.
Yeah, I move the commission convene a closed session to discuss cybersecurity preparedness.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will take a roll call vote. Commissioner Christman?
Aye.
Commissioner Haugenhoffert?
Aye.
Commissioner Fedorchuk also votes aye. All right. So the closed session will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit their discussion to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action specifically required by law to be taken during the closed session. We aren't anticipating any action during this discussion. But in case there is, that will be taken after the closed session is over. We will now ask members of the public who are attending to leave the room. I don't see any members of the public. We anticipate adjourning the closed session and reconvening the open portion of the meeting at approximately, let's say, 2:45. The minutes will show that the closed session, the closed session will begin at 2:08. And will be attended by myself, Julie Fedorchuk. We'll just go around the room and announce everyone in the room.
Randy Christman.
Sherry Haugenhoffert, Commissioner.
Victor Shook, staff.
John Shue, staff.
Peggy Link.
Garrett Sanger with Montana Dakota.
Jay Scable with Montana Dakota.
Curtis Riley with Montana Dakota.
Brian Johnson, PSC.
Steve Call, PSC.
Rob Frank, Montana Dakota.
Rob Frank, PSC.
That was awesome.
Jake Hine with Montana Dakota.
Mark Hansen, MDU Resources.
Courtney Vetter, Montana Dakota.
Darcy Nagum, Montana Dakota.
Matt Kluzak, PSC.
Okay. So now we can stop the recording and the broadcast, and then we'll start a separate recording.